Trent Daugherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome in, 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 5 o'clock hour is here. What does that mean? So is Coach Rick Barnes, who joins us to start the hour. Coach, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, guys, good to be with you. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. I'm curious, when you went back and watched the tape of the first half yesterday, did you still find that performance to be pathetic?
Maybe more so than what I thought.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm not, you know, today's our day off, so our guys haven't got to watch with me what I will show them, and they're going to find out what I was talking about. And I was really upset, obviously, because, you know what, we had good prep going into it, and the way we start the game with a wide-open missed layup and shot an air ball with nobody guarding us from the right side. And, you know, we were defending well enough, obviously. And what happens in a game like that, when you don't take those opportunities, it really starts to mess up your substitution pattern, because guys that you want to get in the game at a certain point, it's not fair to them to put them in the game when you're behind and trying to just, you know, get control of the game. And so I was really upset with our older guys, to be quite honest with you. That's who I was most at the time upset with.
How frustrating is it to sit on the bench and almost have to wait to halftime to kind of express those thoughts?
Oh, well, I expressed it like 4 or 5 times before halftime during the timeouts, you know? And it's just, you know what, we've been through a lot as a team this year. We really have. You go back when the season started, the three guys that we were going to count on to carry our team would be Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden, and Josiah James. And obviously Lamonte went down before he even got into conference play and had not played well up to that point because of his shoulder. And you know, Jordan Bowden's having one of the worst shooting years of his career, the worst, and then Josiah James has been hurt pretty much. So we've had to shift over to where now, where we're really trying to play through our post players, and they get thrust into a situation. And to be honest with you, those guys have really done a great job of I think stepping into a different role and playing at a high level. But last night, John Fulkerson has been a guy that's much improved, and when you're counting on him right now to be the main guy, he's got to bring it every night. And he wasn't very good to start with. He came back in the second half and made some big buckets for us and did some good things. But we need him this time of year from start to finish.
You mentioned Jordan Bowden and obviously averaging 12 points per game, struggling a little bit from a shooting standpoint, much different from his sophomore and junior years from a numbers standpoint. And I know the mental part of an athlete's game is just a big part of success. How do you handle that struggle offensively from a mental standpoint with him?
Well, obviously I haven't done very good, to be honest with you, because when you talk about struggling, I think he's shooting 14% in SEC play from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
And what we've tried to get him to do is, we haven't asked him to change anything about what he's done up to this point. It's not like, you know, we knew Lamonte Turner was going to be somewhat of our, you know, the leader of our team in terms of his competitive fire that he has, his competitive spirit. And so, you know, with Jordan being a senior, we expected him to really kind of stay in the same role he was in to a point, knowing he was going to get more attention, you know, through scouting, and it'd be game plan for a little bit differently than he had been in the past couple of years. But, you know, all we can ask him to do is put his time in. And one thing that we always give him credit for is because he has been, in over a 4-year period, as good a defender as we've coached. I mean, he's done a terrific job on that end. And there's no doubt it's mental. There's no doubt it's there. You know, I've tried all kinds of ways to try to get him to understand that, I can tell you thousands of things, just trying to talk to him, challenging him one way, this way. He puts his time in. He shoots a lot, but he gets in games. I don't think he shoots the same shots that he practices. His adrenaline gets going. He jumps higher, jumps forward. And as opposed to when he's in practice, you'd watch him, you'd be shocked, to be quite honest with you, and then to think he could go out and struggle like he has. But hopefully he's going to get it back coming down the stretch here. Lord knows we need him. And, you know, he did step up last night and make some big free throws for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we just hope, again, because he's worked at it, and it's somewhat is baffling, you know, but I've seen it happen to people, you know, and you know, where they get in a slump. And the only thing I can tell you is you can't get out of it unless you keep shooting your shots. What he did, and I tell players all the time, sometimes you can shoot your way into a slump by taking bad shots and taking shots out of our offense. And there is no doubt at one point this year he was doing that. And he hasn't really been doing that recently. And so I just, again, we believe that hopefully he's going to catch it and get back on it.
Coach Rick Barnes, our guest from Tennessee basketball. The Santiago Vescovi story is really amazing to me, Coach. He arrives in Knoxville on December 28th, and a week later he's out there starting at guard. I mean, that's just a crazy thing and not something you see that often.
Well, you said amazing. I've used that word. I'm really amazed by it. When you think about it, when you go back and think about our team this year, we've got two guys that are on our roster right now that we're not on our active roster, and one of them, when the season started, one of them wasn't even in school when the season started.
Right.
And you know, once we got the commitment from him, this was before Lamonte had decided that he was going to shut it down. But when we were recruiting him, we said, hey, when you get here, we knew he was going to come in at Christmas. We knew that for a fact once he committed to us. We said, we're going to leave it up to you. And because he wasn't sure if he wanted to, he wasn't sure. But once Lamonte went down, in a roundabout way, we let it be known to him and his parents that, yeah, we'd like for him to play, but we're going to still leave it up to him. And he said, hey, I want to play. And he came in and literally practiced 3 days. And we, right, think about it, we're getting ready to go into conference play. And we totally revamped our team in terms of adding things that that no one on our team had seen, things that we had watched him do on tape that he looked comfortable with. And so we added that to our package. And he goes into he's in our first couple of games. If anyone would have played a zone against us back then, he would have had no idea what to do. And but what he's done, I mean, he's had to learn out of bounds plays. He's had to do this. He's had to do that. But what he is capable of doing, I would say something even in those first couple of games that we need to run this. And he said, look at me. And he said, what does that mean? And I would say, all you need to do is this. And he could pick it up right away. And after one time, he had it. But when he wasn't in great shape, there's nothing worse than trying to fight through fatigue when you're not in shape. And he has gotten in shape, and I think where his future is so bright in such a short time. You know, he started out turning the ball over seven, eight, nine times really, and he had gotten away from that. The last two games, he struggled a little bit with it, but I don't think it's from his turnovers recently have been self induced really, but he's a you know, he's a terrific shooter.
Yeah.
But I thought last night he seemed fatigued because he normally doesn't settle for anything early from the perimeter. He likes to create and get the ball into gaps. But last night it seemed like he just didn't have that push that he needed. But I tell you, I think it's one of the most remarkable stories in all of college basketball this year.
Wow. Well, as you said, I don't know anything about basketball, but just watching him, it seems like his ceiling is really high because there are some things that, like, you know, we tell kids not to do, and that's, you know, leave the floor with nothing to do, and he still makes mistakes like that. So obviously he cleans that stuff up. Some of the passes he makes, Coach Barnes, it looks like he's playing chess out there. Like, he knows what's about to happen, and it ends in a Pons dunk, and it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, he is. That's where he's got a and really in a very short time. I mean, I think what he has done for our team is he's given other guys confidence in some other areas. We were hoping he would have a major effect on Jordan Bowden. But once we felt like, I say one time, probably 7, 8, 9, 10 times this year, where we felt we were finally in a groove and something would happen. And so, you know, once Santi, you could see he was starting to settle in. Josiah was settling in with him, and so was Jordan Bowden. And then Josiah gets hurt again. And then we have to readjust, go with a bigger lineup, move Eve Pons out to the perimeter, which he struggled at the Mississippi State game, and because he had to do that. So we've been having to go back and forth like that. But I would have liked to have this group. I mean, obviously, we'd like to have Lamonte and back with us, obviously. But if we had this group from the start of the season to where – Santi and Uroš could have played those early season games,
yeah,
I think we'd be so much further along. But we've had to just piece it together as we've gone through here, and And I'm really proud of her guys, to be honest with you, because it hasn't been easy. It really hasn't been for as many times we've had to start over, change, do this, do that. We don't have some things in that we would love to have in this time of year, but that's just the way the ball bounces sometimes.
Got a tough stretch coming up with some of these Tier 1 games to close the season. Saturday at Auburn, 11 a.m. start. Do you like that as a road team going to play a ranked team that early?
No, I don't like 11 o'clock games. My favorite time is probably – I like those 3 o'clock games. 4 o'clock games don't bother me, but the 11 o'clock games, 12 o'clock games, because it puts you in a different routine than you normally are in. But and they've got a lot going on down there. I think they're hosting the SEC swimming diving championship, so our hotel that normally had us can't fill the contract, so we've got some guys standing. We got the team and a couple coaches in one hotel, other people in the hotel. That's the stuff that you hate this time of year, but it is what it is. But I don't think anybody particularly enjoys those early starts like that.
Well, Coach, I saw last night after the game. I know Admiral was on his NBA break, and after the game, you had him speak to the team and talk to them. Why that decision, and what did he say?
Well, to give you the whole picture, after the game, I walked in the locker room, and obviously what I did at halftime pales of how I felt after the game, because the way we closed the game out, I thought we got a nice run going, then we acted like we were whatever, looking to make spectacular plays or whatever, but we didn't play the game the way we should. We didn't respect it the way we should, and so I was not real happy, and it just so happened Lamonte and Admiral were there, and after I got through, I asked those guys to come in, and they were terrific. Lamonte, Admiral said to it, we were exactly where you guys were when we were sophomores, exact same place. But we had a guy like Robert Hubbs. People forget the senior year that Robert Hubbs was having, and we were rolling at this time of year. Then he gets hurt, and he's averaging right at 15 points a game, and he literally cannot play the last 6 games of the regular season. And that means Grant Williams and Admiral Lamonte and those guys it was their turn now. And he said, we weren't good enough, because he said, we didn't think we were good enough. And he said, and because of that, we knew we had to play as hard as we could play every single night. And it didn't matter who we were playing. We felt like we had something to prove, not only to the people we were playing, but to ourselves. And until we could get that breakthrough win. And he said, we didn't get it until, the following year when, we went to Purdue and, beat Purdue and down in the Bahamas. And excuse me. And he just said, you guys, when you're playing well, everything's good. But when things aren't going totally your way, you take a step backwards. And so there's no doubt this team is growing. But as coaches, and it's our job to develop these guys, and that's happening. But along the way, you still don't ever lose sight of, we got a chance that we can win games, because college basketball, our league is pretty much indicative of what's going on in college basketball. Anybody can beat anybody. And we just have high expectations. I don't care if they're freshmen, sophomores, whatever. We expect them to simply do their job.
Coach Rick Barnes, our guest. Coach, there have been several people who've kind of talked about that anybody can beat anybody this year. And even at the very top of college basketball, it seems like there are any number of teams that could win it all this year. Is that parity, or is this just an odd year?
Well, I think what we're seeing this year, you saw a little bit of it last year. I don't think anybody would expect this time a year ago that Texas Tech or Auburn would be a Final Four team. I don't think that, maybe possibly, Virginia and everybody's talking about that. But I think what's going on right now is the fact that this time of year, you're probably thinking, normally there's 10 teams maybe this time of year that look like they're Final Four contenders. But now there's who knows how many, because of the way it plays out. And I think that if the NBA goes to the rule in 2022, when they're going to allow high school players to come to become, be able to go right to the NBA, I think what we're seeing this year is going to happen more often going forward. And I think it's great for college basketball. I really do. But the tough part about it is I don't think there's any coach right now. Think about it, there's 5-6 games for everybody in the country. 2 weeks ago, everybody was talking about West Virginia being a Final Four team. I think they lost three in a row. I think they got back on track last night. Ohio State, we know how many teams were number one and aren't even in the top 25 anymore. And those teams can obviously catch some magic going here like anybody. So I think these next couple weeks it'll separate. But at this point in time, it's hard for us to say who is going to make it there because of the parity. And if that's the word, I don't know what it is. But the fact is, it's just so close right now with so many different teams.
Coach, while we have you, I'm curious, where were you when you found out about Kobe Bryant? And do you have a story that goes back to maybe an interaction with him?
Well, actually, I was at my brother-in-law's funeral. It was on a Sunday, and we were there. And after we had the service, someone while we were at the reception, someone said that to me, and I was shocked, like I think everybody was. And,
yeah.
And that day was, we had some things that we did with the team, and my assistant coaches told me that our team just, when they told our team that the guys just start crying, they were devastated because of what he meant. My Kobe Bryant story was when I was at, coaching at, I think Clemson, I think it was, I can't remember. It would have been Texas. And we were at Fairleigh Dickinson University for the ABCD camp, Adidas camp, back when he was in high school and I didn't know anything about him. And one of my assistant coaches said to me, Coach, we need you to sit on this court and watch this kid on this court. But I was watching this kid that I was supposed to be watching, and all at once I heard people in the gym start oohing and ahhing. I looked over to the other court, and I started watching Kobe Bryant, and I'm like, man, good. And to this day, I'm going to tell you, he's the best high school player I've ever seen. And the way he played with the intensity. And my assistant coach came up and asked me, he said, what do you think about the kid you're watching? I said, I don't know. I don't care about that kid. I said, I want you to recruit me that kid. And he said, Coach, that's the number one player in the country. That's Kobe Bryant. I said, well, why can we recruit him? He said, well, the word is that his father's looking for a job with him. I said, well, that means you're looking for a job, but obviously he went to high school and through the years, he was a player. When we got Kevin Durant, I showed Kevin the first day that Kevin and I sat down to watch film together. Kobe, Michael, and LeBron were the guys that I showed him things. I said, look, this is what you've got to add to your game. What these three, those guys have had some more things in common than you might expect. And KD was the kind of guy, once you show it to him, just you snap your fingers, he had it. But those were the three guys that I said, you got to have a little bit of all this. But Kobe is, for this generation, I mean, if you would have, again, heard the response, what my coaches told me about our team, they said it just devastated them.
Coach, thank you for the time, for the stories. Always love catching up with you.
And for the honesty.
Yes, always, man. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I would like to watch tape with you and your players one day, though.
Well, you know, I wish I could do that more than you? Referees.
Oh, that's true.
I'm not supposed to say that, Coach.
Yeah.
I would really like to have a job one day watching tape after games with referees from a coaching standpoint. Our league is working hard at trying to get the best officials, but I do think that, again, I love to be able to do that someday.
Well, in 10 or 15 years, when you're ready to hang them up, that could be your next gig.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe. By then, I won't want to.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Good luck, Rick Coach.
Barnes, he wants to watch tape with the referee.
Hey.
Why not?
That's not a bad idea.
That's so funny.
Only real talk from Coach Barnes.
Commissioner Sankey needs to look into that. That's not a bad idea.
He's the best, that guy.